This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we seek His help. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and the consequences of our actions. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can misguide. And whoever is misguided cannot be guided except through Him. I bear witness and I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness and I testify that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the most perfect worshipper and the final prophet that Allah azza wa jal has sent to mankind. As to what follows, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to be conscious of Him in the Quran when He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Dear Muslims, we are now entering the fourth month of conflict that we are witnessing in Gaza. Three full months have gone by and now the fourth has begun. And today I want to ask an awkward question, a question that has been asked multiple times before for multiple situations and scenarios. And that question deals with one of the fundamental issues that faces every one of us as a human being. For how long will this pain continue? What is the wisdom of this suffering? How do we understand why this is happening? Now, even though the context of my khutbah is Gaza and Palestine, the questions transcend Gaza and Palestine. The questions afflict every one of us at a personal level, at a family level, at a society level, at an international level. Why? Why is this happening to me? How do I deal with the pain and suffering? Why is there so much tragedy? And especially for our brothers and sisters in Gaza, the question becomes even more profound, even more deep. Even the Quran mentions when the previous prophets were persecuted and tortured, their companion said, "Mata Nasrullah?" Where is the help of Allah? Where is the Nasr of Allah? And Allah Azza wa Jal says upon the tongues of the prophets, "Ala inna Nasr Allahi qareeb." Be patient, the help of Allah is close. So in today's khutbah, I want to answer the perpetual question. I have spoken of this before, and we will continue to speak about this over and over again, because this question is one that we grapple with from every single angle. We grapple with at every portion of our lives, when something happens, when a tragedy occurs, when we lose a loved one, when there's a pain in our hearts, shaitan comes to us and a waswasa comes. Why is this happening? What is the wisdom of this? And so we will answer this question today, as I have attempted in the past and will continue to do so, because Allah reminds us, remind them, for in remembering, for in reminding, there is comfort for the believers. And realize as well, dear Muslims, that this question of evil, this question of pain, this question of dhulm and fasad, it was asked by people, by entities, by creation greater than us, even before we existed. When Allah announced our creation, what did the angels ask? Oh Allah, the angels said, why would you create a creation in which there's going to be so much evil? أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا. There's going to be bloodshed, there's going to be civil war, bombs are going to be dropped, innocent children are going to be killed. Oh Allah, why are you creating this world? Even the angels asked. So if the angels ask, surely I have a right to ask, and you have a right to ask. Even the angels questioned, oh Allah, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Why would you put, in this world those creations? They're going to be tyrants. They're going to be causing fitna. They're going to be shedding bloodshed. تُسْفِكُ الدِّمَاء. Why would you do this? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied to them. And that is one reply that gives some light. But before I proceed, notice, and this is a very key point. The angels asked a type of question that deals with one category, and that is the category of human inflicted evil. أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. You're going to put in this world, there's going to be human beings that are downright evil. They're so evil, they're going to cause fitna and fasad, and they're going to kill and murder, mayhem and chaos. So they asked Allah about a type of evil. Our modern philosophers call it moral evil. A moral evil is an evil that humans cause to other humans. Tyrants, murderers, plunderers, rapists. These are people that are affecting other people. These are humans that are doing things to other humans. This is called moral evil. And the wisdom, the angels asked Allah the wisdom of this. Notice what they didn't ask Allah. Oh Allah, there's going to be tsunami waves. Oh Allah, there's going to be hurricanes. Oh Allah, there's going to be natural disaster. No, this is not asked. This is not asked. Why? Because that is a different category that doesn't come under moral evil. We can call it, some philosophers have called it natural evil. I don't even call it evil. This is natural pain, natural suffering. So there's two categories, and in today's khutbah, we'll talk a little bit about both of them. The first of them, moral evil. And the second of them, natural pain and suffering. The angels did not ask about natural pain. They did not ask about disasters that will happen, about tragedies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes in this world that are not related to people doing unto people. Why is this? There's a very deep theological, aqidah, iman-based, and that is, whatever Allah does, that is, a'udhu billah, not evil. Allah is the Malik, and Allah is the Rabb, and Allah is the one who creates, and Allah is the one in control. Allah has the right to do as He pleases, and He is not, has to be accountable to another entity. Allah is the Malik, and the Khaliq, and the Bari, and the Musawwir. What Allah does with His creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has every right to do. So the angels did not ask, oh Allah, why are you going to create a world in which you are... No, this is not asked. Because Allah, being Allah, has the right to do as Allah pleases to do. As Allah says in the Quran, لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. None can ask Allah what he does. Rather, Allah will ask, what did you do? So the angels did not ask Allah of what we call natural, because natural is not evil. There is no evil in Allah's qadr. We do not ascribe evil to Allah. There is evil in the creation, yes. Min sharri ma khalaq. The shar of what has been created, yes, there is evil. But in what Allah decrees, we do not ascribe evil to Allah. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ. Evil is not ascribed to you. There is pain in Allah's decree, no doubt, but there's no evil. Evil does not exist in Allah Azza wa Jal's creation, in Allah Azza wa Jal's qadr. There are ramifications of qadr that are evil to us, yes. There are effects that are evil to us, yes. But we do not ascribe evil to Allah. So, how then do we explain? How then do we answer this question? Why is there evil and why is there pain? There are two separate categories, because as I said, pain is not necessarily evil. Evil, from our perspective, is that which evil humans do to other humans. Evil jinn do to humans. Allah does not do evil. But evil does occur by people, by creation, by the jinn and shayateen, and by evil people. So we're going to answer this question from, first and foremost, some generic wisdom. Both the evil and the pain has certain wisdoms that we understand. And then there are certain specific wisdoms about the existence of evil from humans, and then certain specific wisdoms about the existence of pain. So let us very quickly look about this, because again, the point being, for us as Muslims, we have to grapple with this question all the time. As believers in a higher power, as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Rahman and Rahim, looking at the situation in Palestine, why is a country like Israel being allowed to get away with this? Why? Why are they constantly just bombing and harassing and whatnot, and nobody stands up to them? What is the wisdom in this? This is moral evil. And then at the personal level, things happen in my life and your life that are painful for us to understand. So to answer this, and again, this is just one khutbah and many have been given. Firstly, both moral and natural, both moral evil and natural pain, we can combine and answer that we firmly believe nothing happens to us at an individual level, except that we have the capacity and potential to come out with what has happened with more good than with more bad, with more blessings than with more evil, with more reward from Allah than the opposite. No situation presents itself to us as an individual. We're not talking about collective individuals. No situation that comes in my life, in your life, will ever come to pass except that we can maximize more good from that situation than more bad. In other words, there is no situation, no tragedy, no pain, no calamity, except that you have the capacity and the potential to come out a winner in the eyes of Allah. There is nothing that is net sum negative if you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're never a loser, no matter what happens. And this is what our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. Amazing are the affairs of the believer, for everything that happens to the believer happens for his khair, not for his shar. Everything that happens is for the good of the believer. If the believer is blessed with blessings, he's thankful to Allah, and Allah will bless him even more. And if the believer is tested, he is patient, and Allah will bless him for that patience. In both circumstances, the believer is a winner. Whether it is a moral evil, somebody doing it unto you, whether it is a natural evil, the net sum of what's happening to you will always be positive. We can also respond that one of the wisdoms in all of this is that when evil happens, when pain happens, when tragedy happens, there is an element of our iman being tested. And the iman's test, how do you pass that test? You pass that test by putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Allah said to the angels, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah's response was not a response that detailed why there is moral evil. Allah did not go down a list, I'm going to explain to you why there are tyrants. I'm going to explain the wisdom of Fir'aun. I'm going to explain the wisdom of Israel. I'm going to explain the wisdom of apartheid. I'm going to explain the wisdom of American slavery. No, Allah did not go down a list of pointing out why there is moral evil. Rather, what Allah said to the angels, you're going to have to trust that my knowledge is more than yours. Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. And this is why when a tragedy happens, one of the most important elements of passing that tragedy is to have in your heart a sense of iman that Allah knows and I do not know. And this is what Allah reminds the Sahaba when those incidents took place in the Battle of Tabuk, when the Sahaba themselves were feeling very, very themselves on edge, what is going on? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran that what should the Sahaba say? قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا. Nothing's going to happen to me except what Allah has decreed is going to happen to me. And Allah is my Mawla. He loves me. He protects me. He is my Rabb and my Mawla. This is the phrase the Sahaba were taught. لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Nothing's going to happen except Allah has written it. Iman in Qadr. Iman in Allah's knowledge. Iman in Allah's hikmah. This is a part and parcel of our life. Rather, whether what happens is a moral evil, whether what happens is a natural tragedy, we always placate ourselves, calm ourselves down, bring comfort to the heart. This is not random. It's not a bunch of molecules coming together and things happen spontaneously. There is no spontaneity in Allah's creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed not a leaf falls except that He has decreed it. Not a drop of rain will come except that Allah knows from where, to where, and how it's going to get there. Do you think this world is all random? No. لَن يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. So when you know that Allah is in charge, and when you know that your Rabb and your Mawla has decreed this to happen, then at some level, you don't understand the wisdom, but at some level you trust, you know what? Allah is my Mawla, He'll take care of me. And that thiqa in Arabic, that trust, it is manifested over and over again in the stories of the prophets, in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like Musa alayhi salam, when he is fleeing from Fir'aun, and Allah told him, you have to run this direction. Allah did not tell him what to do. Allah just said, go here. And when he gets and he sees the Red Sea in front of him, and he sees the army of Fir'aun, and the people of Musa say, we're gone, we're dead, nothing's going to happen. What does Musa reply? Kalla, no. Inna ma'iya Rabbi. Allah is with me. I didn't get here all alone. It's not coming out of random. Allah told me to come. This is where I am. Inna ma'iya Rabbi sayahdeen. Allah is with me. Allah will find a way out. He did not know the Red Sea would be parted. This wasn't in the plan told to him. But he knew Allah had a plan. You do what you have to do. And when you get to a place where you don't know how to cross, guess what? Allah will make a crossing for you. وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever puts your trust in Allah, Allah will find a way out for him. In the ghar of Thawr, when the Prophet and Abu Bakr are there, and the Prophet is not told the whole plan, he doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know there's going to be a spider putting a web or a pigeon's going to come. He doesn't know any of this. All he knows, Ya Abu Bakr, what do you think of two people? Allah is the third of them. Don't worry, Allah is here with us. Don't worry, don't be scared. Allah is with us. That level of trust can only come when you have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regardless of moral evil or personal tragedy, when you have iman in Allah, it helps you deal. You might not understand, you might not know the way out, but it will help you cope with that pain and that suffering. Also, both moral evil and pain and tragedy, we can respond to them that the goal or one of the primary goals of these types of evils and pains is that it allows each one of us to maximize our potential in the eyes of Allah. It allows us to go higher, to become better, to become more spiritual. Our taqwa goes higher, our iman goes higher. The fact of the matter, we are so weak that when life is good, iman goes down. This is the general rule. There are always exceptions. But the general rule, When the money comes, when the free time is there, when the family is all happy, generally iman becomes a little bit, you know, standard. It becomes stagnant. It actually goes down. When does iman get strengthened? At times of difficulty. At times of difficulty, we rediscover Allah. At times of pain, our du'as become so personal, so powerful. At times of tragedy, we discover the Quran all over again. We take it out of the shelf and we put the dust off and we read it. At times of immense suffering, we start thinking, maybe I should pray tahajjud, maybe I should do more dhikr, maybe I should... What is the wisdom here? Allah wanted you to reach that potential. And unfortunately, the dunya was clouding my heart and yours. Unfortunately, we were not reaching that potential. But Allah wants us. And so, as Ibn Qayyim says in his famous work on pain, on suffering, on evil, as Ibn Qayyim says, and this is a beautiful point, any pain that brings you closer to Allah is not a pain, it is a blessing. Any tragedy that allows you to rediscover, rekindle your ta'alluq, your alaqa with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is not a tragedy. It is a gift Allah has given you. There is no tragedy in strengthening your relationship with Allah. And so, if bombs are falling, if you lose a loved one, if you suffer a bankruptcy, and in the process, your relationship with Allah is strengthened, this is not a tragedy. This is a gift, because nothing is more precious than your relationship with Allah. Nothing. So when Allah takes something away to draw you closer to Him, in reality, He wants you to be closer to Him. And that is a blessing. Your status is guaranteed. Your maqam has been solidified. Allah wants you. Allah has chosen you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is lifting you up to get that level. And there is no question in our minds that our brothers and sisters in Gaza, Allah has chosen them for this task. Allah has lifted them up and made them role models. But every one of us in our personal tragedies, every one of us in our personal journeys, we have that potential as well. And of course, of the things we say to both of these tragedies, the moral evil and the natural, is that we firmly believe there is an akhirah. We firmly believe sins are forgiven. We firmly believe Allah's reward happens. Wallahi, I feel sorry for those people who don't believe in God and don't believe in a hereafter. How will they remain sane when they're surrounded by evil? How will they get a sense of justice? Where will optimism come from when a loved one goes away, when their dunya is taken away? If they don't have an akhirah and the dunya is their akhirah, well then, what point is there of life after that? But for us who believe in an akhirah, and we know the dunya is temporary, we know for how long, even if you had this blessing, for how long? For how long will you live? So when Allah takes a blessing away early, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes, you have in your heart, well, inshallah, it's temporary. I will meet up next life. Whatever pain I have now will be replaced with happiness in the akhirah. Whatever sadness will be substituted with joy. Whatever grief will be eternal bliss. You have something to look forward to. And this is of the wisdoms of why we have pain and evil. Now, specifically when it comes to moral evil, there are certain things that we have to add here that we don't add for the natural disasters and calamity. The moral evil, of the wisdoms why certain people's evil is manifested, of the wisdoms why Fir'auns exist, Taghuts exists, Jababira exists, Israel exists, and they're doing this zulm. Of the wisdom is that when you see evil with your eyes, you are motivated to fight it with good. And people come together and their goodness is manifested. And in that, alhamdulillah, much good happens. There must be a level of injustice so that righteous people fight for justice. There must be a level of hunger so that righteous people come together to feed the hungry. There must be orphans so that good people sponsor the orphans. So when there is negative, it brings about the positive of others. And we see this happening around the world. We are thankful. We are thankful to certain nations and countries like South Africa. We give them credit like our Prophet ﷺ gave credit to those in the Quraysh who stood up for justice. Wallahi, we are so proud of this country that sued Israel in the National Court of the United Nations and is listing all the grievances. We are ashamed none of our countries have done so, but we thank Allah that somebody exists that has done so. Truly an exemplary light. So this leads us to another wisdom of why there's Fir'auns. When you have Fir'auns, automatically you see your enemies from your allies. Just like our Prophet ﷺ, remember those of the Quraysh, like Mut'im ibn Adi, who helped him. And he thanked Mut'im even after Mut'im dies. I say loudly and clearly, we shall not forget the benefit and the sacrifice that South Africa has done. We know this. And the Muslim world shall remember what it has done today and yesterday, ensuing this apartheid regime. If any country knows apartheid, it is South Africa. If any country has seen what evil dictators and tyrants can do, it is South Africa. And so for them to stand up, it is a point of benefit for us. And we shall acknowledge and never forget this positive, like our Prophet ﷺ also acknowledged the good that certain members of the Quraysh had done. And we also see our enemies. Because when you have Fir'auns, people whom you thought were your friends will become on the side of Fir'aun. And we see this as well. What a blessing it is that those people whom we thought were our allies, we are seeing right now, before the situation gets worse, we are seeing them forget their Muslim names, their loyalties are with the apartheid regime. Forget the outer cultures they come from, forget the places they are. It is not a place that makes you holy, it is your actions. So when we see our own, some of them, a'udhu billah, Muslim leaders and names, siding with apartheid against Palestine and against Masjid al-Aqsa, then we thank Allah we have seen the hypocrite with our own eyes, so that we know and we will not forget. Muslims, do not forget the traitors and the treacherous people in our ranks. We need to know now before the situation gets worse, so that we are not stabbed in the back from the very people who claim to be our allies. This is a wisdom in this dunya. It is a wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown. And Allah mentions this in the Quran. وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا. So that you can know the munafiqoon. So we thank Allah, we have seen who the munafiqoon are. And we thank Allah, we have seen who our allies and our partners are. Of the wisdoms as well, when it comes to this moral injustice, of the wisdoms of seeing evil from others, is that Allah mentions this in the Quran. فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الظَّالِمِينَ. Look at the end result of the mujrims and the tyrants. Look at, where is Fir'aun now? Where is the power and might of Fir'aun? What happened to all of the evil rulers and even those who weren't punished in this world? Their legacies are the worst until the Day of Judgment. Hitler did not have any trial. He shot himself. Hitler did not face justice in this dunya. But the legacy of this man, everybody despises him. And this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are a tyrant, when you're an evil person, either in this world you will be shown like Pharaoh, like Abu Jahl, like the leaders of Quraysh that opposed the Prophet ﷺ, or your history, it will be shown. Either way, you will not come out the winner. And of the wisdoms of seeing moral evil, seeing it, there's wisdom of seeing tyranny and injustice, is that we look forward to the Day of Judgment. We look forward to Yawm al-Deen, Yawm al-Qiyamah, because we realize there cannot be ultimate justice in this world. Wallahi, even if we were to catch the people who did this, how do you put to trial a person who has slaughtered 35,000 innocent people in Gaza? What jury is there? What punishment is there? What prison sentence is there? What execution technique is there that will bring justice for 17,000 children, for 4 hospitals bombed? What justice is there? Nothing in this world. Even if we were to capture, even if we were to put in jail, so what? So what happens when you see this zulm? We realize who Allah is. Only Allah is the one who can do ultimate justice. Allah is Malik Yawm al-Din. Do you understand now what Malik Yawm al-Din means? This is what it means. Nobody has the right to judge and the power to judge and the power to execute judgment properly other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we see zulm taking place, and it's not just here, in the past, in the present, so many other regimes, so many other tyrants. There are tyrants in our own lands that have killed tens of thousands of people. The Taghi of Syria is in front of us. He is a modern day Fir'aun. I've said this and I've said it before and I'll say it again. The Taghiyah of Syria is a modern day Fir'aun. There's no question about it. The people he has killed, the way he has killed them. What justice will possibly be given in this dunya? We wait for the Akhirah. We wait for Yawm al-Din. And on that day, every family who has had a child killed, every person who has been tortured, they will see the judgment of Allah and they will find a sense of happiness in that judgment that this dunya cannot give them. As for pain and suffering from a natural cause, very quickly before we finish off, when Allah decides something, when Allah decrees something, as we said, it is not evil. It cannot be evil. But it does cause pain, no problem. But the decree of Allah is not characterized as evil. When Allah decides to give or take, when Allah decides life or death, then we have to accept Allah's qadr. In the end of the day, Allah is the one who is Rabb. He controls, He gave us, and He has the right to take away. And one of the things that we placate ourselves with is the knowledge that only Allah knows the future. And it is possible a small pain now will prevent a larger one later on. It is possible a smaller tragedy now will prevent a larger tragedy in the future. And in fact, the story of Musa and Khidr demonstrates this. Three incidents, one after the other. Each one of them, I don't have time to go over it. Go over it yourselves if you haven't read the story. Each one of them is a small pain, small tragedy. The loss of life, the loss of rizq, the loss of sustenance, the loss of a ship, the loss of a child. Each one of them is pain. But the end of the story demonstrates that small pain was meant to save you from a bigger pain. So we have to have trust in Allah. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Wa asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum. It's possible you don't like something, but it is better for you. And of course, we placate ourselves for the reality of the Akhirah. Every pain is a temporary pain in this dunya. There is no permanent pain in this world. Every anxiety, every grief shall be substituted to joy and happiness in the Akhirah if we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear Muslims, these are some of the wisdoms and some of the ways that we console ourselves, either from moral evil or from natural tragedy. And in the end, we are the abd and Allah is the Rabb. We are the mamluk and Allah is the malik. In the end, there's only so much we can do. And in the end, we trust and resign our fate to Allah. لَن يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا. Nothing's going to happen to us except what Allah has decreed for us. He is our Mawla. May Allah bless me and you with into the Quran, and may He make us of those who His verses we understand and applies halal and haram throughout our lifespan. I ask Allah's forgiveness, you as well, ask Him for His the Ghafoor and the Rahman. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, the one and the unique. He it is whom we worship, and it is His aid that we seek. He is the Lord of the oppressed, and He hears the prayer of the weak. As to what follows, dear Muslims, this entire khutbah can be summarized in one simple hadith, in one simple dua that the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Very beautiful, and it summarizes this whole theology, this whole philosophy, this whole wisdom. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would visit somebody who suffered a tragedy, when he would visit somebody whose child had died, when he would visit somebody who's suffering from a great calamity, what would he say? The hadith tells us, he taught us this dua. Memorize it, and then more important, understand the psychology. He would say, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا أَعْطَى وَلِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذْ وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى لِتَصْبِرْ وَلْتَحْتَسِبْ وَعَظَمَ اللَّهُ أَجْرَكَ. This is the dua. If you have not memorized it, listen to the recording, you can write it down. But listen to these phrases. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا أَعْطَى وَلِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذْ. To Allah belongs what He gave you, and to Allah belongs what He took away. I don't own anything. It's not my money. It's not my child. It's not my family, my parents, my rizq, my building. No. Allah gave you what was His, and Allah took away what was His. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا أَعْطَى وَلِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذْ. The Prophet ﷺ starting this beautiful dua by reminding us, who is Allah and who are you? Did you create the building? Did you create what you have? Did you get it? Or did Allah give it to you? And if Allah gave it, alhamdulillah, you had it for a while. And if Allah chose to take it away, well then, He has the right to take it away. And then the Prophet reminded us, وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Everything that you will have, Allah has given for ajal. Your life has an ajal. Even if your building lasted beyond you, it would go away. Your life would come back to Allah. Nothing is permanent. Kullu shay'in 'indahu bi ajalin musamma. This dunya is temporary. So how long will you have what you had? Even if you have it till you die, you will die. And that thing will go on. Then it will die or it will perish. Nothing is forever. Only Allah is the one who is al-baqi. Kullu man 'alayha fan wa yabqa wajhu rabbik. Everything else is temporary. So we're reminded, to what end? For how long? وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. So we are taught once again, put yourself in your place. Nothing is permanent except Allah. Then he told us, لِتَصْبِرْ وَالْتَحْتَسِبْ. I command you to have sabr. There is no other way to deal with tragedy. وَالْتَحْتَسِبْ. And I command you to expect Allah's reward. So, patience of the heart, reward in the future. Patience for now, rewards in the akhirah. For now, be patient. Then look forward to Allah's reward. And then you make dua. وَأَعْظَمَ اللَّهُ أَجْرَكَ. May Allah give you even more reward than what has already been decreed. Give you even more than that. وَأَعْظَمَ اللَّهُ أَجْرَكَ. Look forward to an even bigger reward. This simple dua, it teaches us what is iman, who is Allah, what is the reality of khalq. It teaches us wisdom, it teaches us who is the Rabb. It teaches us the temporality of life. It teaches us nothing lasts forever. It brings us a sense of comfort. There is tomorrow, there is sabr. And all of this to put us in our perspective. Allah Azza wa Jal is in charge and we are His subject and creation. And what Allah wills is better for us. In the long run, we will see those blessings. In the short run, we will taste some of them and we'll have to trust Allah for the future. Dear Muslims, whatever happens to you, to me, to the Palestinian people of Gaza, whatever happens, never lose faith in Allah. Never lose hope in Allah. Never stop thinking the best of Allah. Expect the reward from Allah. Amazing are the affairs of the believer, for everything that happens to the believer happens for good. This is the reality of our religion. Come close to Allah through dua, through dhikr, through tahajjud, through salah. Find comfort. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Find comfort through sabr and through salah. Ask Allah to make things easy for you. Look forward to a better day. And if that better day comes in this world, alhamdulillah. If it does not come in this world, for sure it will come in the akhirah. This is the reality of our iman and our sabr and our faith. And we thank Allah for having blessed us with this iman. Because without this iman, how could we possibly have lived? Allahumma inni da'in fa'aminu. Allahumma la tada'i fi hadhihi al-umi dhamman illa ghafarta. Wala hamman illa farajta. Wala daynan illa qadayta. Wala maridan illa shafayta. Wala asiran illa yassarta. Allahumma ghafir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما: إن الله وملائكة يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك رسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة.
الله استو اعتدلوا. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله There will be a janazah inshallah in a few minutes before that just a special request for dua One of my own family friends, a young boy by the name of Muaz, he was visiting from Memphis. last week, and he had a brain aneurysm in my own house, actually. We rushed him to the hospital. He's in very, very critical condition for the last week, and his family has come down from Memphis. So we make special dua. Allahumma rabban nasi adhib al-basi. Anta shafi la shifa alay shifa'uk shifa'an la yughadir saqama. Allahumma shfihi ya Allah. Allahumma shfihi shifa'an ajilan ya Allah. Allahumma shfihi wa anta khayru shafi ya Allah. Allahumma la shifa'a la shifa'uk ya Allah. Allahumma shfihi ya hayu ya qayyum. Barahmatika arhamar rahimin. Inshallah, there's also a janazah for a newborn child. He was born today, and he passed away today. So we have a janazah. Can we ask the father and the family to come? It's a newborn child. And again, this shows us Allah's qadr. We accept Allah's qadr and decree. Subhanallah, subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. You do it this way, it's fine. This way is fine. Oh, okay, that's fine. Take that out. Can the parents, the father, come closer? Ka'b ibn Abdullah. Subhanallah. Stow. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
إن شاء الله. إن شاء الله. الله give you أجر. إن شاء الله give you صبر. إن شاء الله.